So if we're going to make this analogy about code and how important reading is, where does reading come from? This, after all, is about semasiology, so we have to look at the history. What does to read mean now? What did it mean then? Early reading involved simple code recognition. That sounds like where we are. It was very task-oriented, to commit to memory concrete bits of information. Exactly. Sounds like where we are. Stephen Fisher has it correct. The first writer of whom we know is Enheduanna, who wrote about 2285 BC. She was a poet, the daughter of King Sargon I, known as Sargon the Great. Now, Neal Stephenson writes about this in Cryptonomicon, so this, you know, the coincidences are astonishing. Here's one coincidence, for instance. Ada Byron, who was the first programmer, according to some, was the daughter of a poet, and she married a gentleman named King, which made her the Countess of Lovelace. Is this all a coincidence? I think not. In any event, there you are around 2000 BC. It's the capital of the Akkadian Empire, the great city of Ur, where we have estimated that about 1% of the population knows how to read, 1 out of 100. Well, that is where we are today. Well, maybe more than that. Maybe this, because we're saying, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5%. So over time, the world's population became more illiterate, and by the time we enter Periclean Greece, the Golden Age, the estimate is that 5% of the population is literate, and I don't think we're there yet. Slaves were, in fact, the highest literate population because reading did not mean what you think it means. And we will get back to this in one moment. And if it doesn't answer your question in 5 slides, please ask your question again. But then, of course, you know, as time marches on, we're going to get into the Dark Ages, and the literacy rates across the world are going to decline. So we're going to take this all the way up to 600 AD, Pope Gregory the Great, who asserts that writing makes present to the reader. What writing makes present to the reader? Pictures make present to the illiterate. Because in pictures, the ignorant see the story that they ought to follow. Therefore, especially for the common folk, pictures are the equivalent of reading. This is certainly where we are today. So somewhere between 2000 BC and 600 AD, we are there. I want to talk about public performance and consider the phrase, scripta manet, verba volat. I went to Catholic school, so if you went to public school, it's verba volat. I understand Damien Conway gave a talk, Latin for geeks. Okay, so we know what this means, or should we just briefly translate? You could pretty much do this one with cognates, right? So script is, you know, scripting, writing, yes, manet, from the same root as remain, maintenance, maintain, to, you know. So that's verba, of course, verbal, volat, volatile, to fly, volare. So, of course, if you look at it, you look it up anywhere, it's, you know, your literal translation, the script remains, verbal is volatile. Or, if we want to be a little more poetic about it, writing is eternal, but talk is ephemeral. And that is how we translate to this phrase today. But curiously enough, this phrase did not mean this when it was first uttered. In the early Middle Ages, it in fact meant something very close to the exact opposite of this, because the act of reading was not considered to be a reader was not to be the receiver of the information, it was to be the transmitter of the information, because it was not possible to read silently. So things that were written as memory aids to the speaker, and the speaker would say the words to the listener. To read was to speak. Those were synonyms. And so, in fact, what this phrase meant, with the same cognates, to remain, to maintain, is just to lie there. The writing just lies there. Whereas the speaking lifts it off the page. You see, writing is just there, but the speaking is what elevates the listener. It's the exact opposite sense. This is semasiology. Writing isn't any good unless somebody reads it out loud. Socrates, in fact, believed that books, and we'll make the distinction between the content and the container, that the actual container itself was an impediment to learning. Right? The existence of the book meant that the speaker could be anybody. So you notice Socrates didn't write anything down. Because the only way that you could really get what the author was saying was to hear him say it. And writing was bad. And then over time, this changed. And we came to believe that the reader was the receiver.